that's great that you guys enjoyed that type of music and everything, right?
Oh, yeah, my Lord,
it's your favorite, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, that's awesome.
We're even writing a graphic novel.
Are you?
About the 80s heavy metal band.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no, we're...
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Do the podcast and all that stuff.
Keep the spirit alive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, well, and it's funny, as you were singing there, it's just like... there's that moment where I just have that realization that it's just like, this is exactly the reason that we're doing this, you know, because it's you just locked in to that
the
whole
spirit
concept
of it
and
every
the spirit,
day.
Like yep. say, yep. yeah.
Well,
sure.
we're all in it together. We're passionate about rock and roll.
Yeah.
We're fans first and everything.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You want to roll that, or are you rolling already?
I am rolling right now.
No worries.
I can do an introduction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's golden.
All right. Hey, yo, here we go. Welcome to another edition of We Talk Music. This is a special live We Talk Music, and I think it's awesome because we got Russ Dwarf in the house. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. Here we are on the beautiful beach in Hawaii. Here you can hear the surf in the background.
That's what that is. Oh, yeah.
Mo and Brett are in the house. Say hi, Mo.
Yeah. Hey.
Mo and Brett, we're drinking, you know, what do they drink? Mimosas on the beach.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yeah. Hanging out, getting sun.
Hold it. Look at it. Jeez.
Mojito, or what are they called?
Mojitos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, getting the
pina colada. That's
it,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you add that to the set? That's a hell of a song. You did a great version.
Well, we're good drinkers. We are good Canadian boys, that's for sure, right? You know what I mean?
Well, you just got off stage a little while ago, and we had a great time.
Awesome.
So, tell us what it's like to be on stage in front of all those people and like see them, you know, singing the lyrics to your songs in front of you. I mean, I think that must be an awesome fucking rush.
It is. It's you know, it's adrenaline. It's a drug and everything to, you know, to see that people get us and are with us. Like, we love the fans, but it's more like it turns into family for us and everything. You know what I mean? We end up, like, having lifelong friends and everything. And the way the vibe of the band has always been like that. We're, you know, with the people, and we love it. You know, we're fans of rock, too, right? And we're just enjoying the moment. You know, for us, at this point, everything's gravy, and it's just... fantastic to play every night and hear people sing the songs back to us, and you can't make it up. When you're 13 in your bedroom listening to Led Zeppelin, or, you know, you never would have this realization. You know, it's surreal sometimes. Sometimes you're in the you're so in the moment, and then sometimes I stop and think, holy shit, this is, you know, just bizarre. Right, you can't make this shit up, right?
35 plus years doing it too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
Like, I mean, you can't imagine. I'm sure all those years ago, you'd still be doing it.
We would never think of it. We would never look. With Doug and I met when we were 20 years old. We never thought, well, 37 years from now, you can't get your head around it, you know. And now we think that went so fast. Mm. You know what I mean? It flew by us. Right? And we're still doing it.
Yeah.
We're so lucky.
Absolutely. And you're still doing it at such a high level, too. I mean, your voice is amazing
at this point.
And
lie to me, baby. Lie to me.
No, honestly, you sounded amazing out there. You really did.
And listening to No Guff, it's great.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
it
stands up to...
No Guff on EMP.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
Killer Dwarfs, No Guff.
Let's sell it, but yeah, like, let's
thank
also
you,
talk about your stage presence, your personality, because I mean that absolutely stands out to me as just being special. You know, there
They're
are people.
Special.
I mean, I mean, we've seen a lot of bands in our life, and seeing you out there and the way you act, I mean, it's cultivated and it's interesting, and I mean, we all love it. But how did that come about?
No, it's just the music makes me act like a goofball, I guess. And we've always had a sense of humor, and you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but obviously we take, you know, what we do seriously, and we have there's a message in there, really, you know, that we didn't really, you know, think, oh, we're gonna make this message. It just turned into that because that's our personalities and everything. We, you know us, we don't write about sex and drugs and rock and roll, but you know, there's a place for that, and everybody, you know, and the bands that do that perfectly well. But we're more of a cerebral, lyrically, you know, we are a human observationist point of view, you know, the lyrics and everything, and this probably stems from being fans of like Rush and Yes and stuff like that when we were kids, and the wit of Alice Cooper, and you know, the tongue-in-cheek you know, just fun about it and everything, right? You know, we like a good joke, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that always stands out to me and that I'll never forget is, I mean, you guys in the box and the music video and all the different record label stuff. Like, you know, you were definitely had a message out there. And I miss the era of music videos that told a story and had fun like that. I think, you know, is that something that's kind of missing from rock and roll nowadays?
I think so. It was so, we were such in on the ground floor of that, and it's convoluted now, I guess. But there's some great videos and visually and everything, but I'm happy we were lucky enough to be in on that era and everything, because those videos did really well for us, and it really expressed the sense of humor we have and the, you know, the sarcasm and everything, and they did so well for us. And it, you know, it was a new age, you know, before the internet, and this is how you know people that were in bumfuck Idaho that, you know, never got to see you in person got you and everything. And those videos, like when MTV came out, we were lucky, we were an independent band at the time, and those became like the most requested independent videos of all time on MTV, which is a monstrous accomplishment for some hillbillies from Ontario, you know what I mean? But it really helped our career and everything with that, and I enjoyed making them. It was so much fun. You know, maybe we'll do another video at some point. Who knows?
Were they your concepts? Were you guys, as a band, you came
absolutely.
Up with them?
Or and we had a great team of people that helped us that were also involved with that, that spurred us on. They made those ideas come to life and stuff like that, right? Then it came to a point, though, where the thing became bigger than us, and it got lost in the fray. But there's some classic videos there that we can still enjoy, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was looking at them on YouTube the other day, and I, you know, I mean, great that YouTube exists so that we can still go back to that.
Yes, it is amazing. What an absolute incredible device. Like a time machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could see, you go, you know, like they say, you go through the wormhole, you start with something and in 3 hours, what the hell? You know what I mean?
Welcome to my afternoons.
Oh, same at my house, right? We just go.
Hey, did you get your work done? No. Why? Because you gave me internet at work.
It's not a lot of YouTube, though. Apparently. I call it U-Click. You kids and your U-Click.
But we watched lots of Killer Dwarfs, so it was all okay.
Yeah, totally.
Now, I mean, you guys actually did a really good job of making it into the United States and hitting through that market.
Lucky.
I mean, that's amazing, especially for a band from Canada, because there was so many Canadian bands that just didn't have that type of success. So what was that like?
That was amazing, and that was because of two people. A guy named Jack Orban at a company called Stone City Productions out of San Antonio, Texas, and a DJ called Joe Anthony. I don't know if you know of him, but look him up on the YouTube. And he broke a lot of bands, and especially a lot of Canadian bands like Rush and Webster and everything. And the first album we did, we had left the company Addict, and apparently they loved the first album so much in San Antonio that it went to number one there and everything, but we had left the company, so we never, you know, this is before the internet and cell phones and everything, and I got a call one time at my house, and it was Joe Anthony, and he's like, oh, you guys have a number one album, you have to come down here and everything. And I'm like, what the fuck, who are you, right? And we, you know, we used to play like 300 shows a year, and, you know, bars and everything. And so Jack and got us down there for a bunch of dates, and we went to San Antonio, and the first time we played San Antonio was in July of 86, and I think we did four nights at the Gasworks in Toronto, got into you know, Dodge Voyager minivans and drove 36 hours straight down to this place. And we did a show. Our first show was with Accept in San Antonio at this place called the Majestic Theater. And it's a beautiful old theater like Massey Hall. It's just incredible. The architect did this, Barry Motors in Ottawa too. And it had vultures and stars. This is a beautiful soft-seater venue. And we are young and stupid. And we pulled up to the venue, and we were in the back, and then we saw like 400 people coming towards us, and we were looking at each other going, who's in town, who's here? Like, that's how out of, you know, it was just a total mind blower for us. And it was one of the, like, you can, you know, count the shows on your hand that are just epic in your life, that change your life, you know, the moment, like you said, you know what I mean, you stop, and then that started the ball rolling. And And then, you know, we ended up getting a huge record deal with Epic Records out of New York City from all the, from these people helping us and everything. And then it just exploded the band. You know what I mean? From that San Antonio, those people, if you guys ever want to go to a rock town, go to San Antonio. It's most incredible. They love rock and roll so much. They're so passionate and they're so nice. And we have a special connection with that town. You know what I mean? They've done so much for us.
I'm gonna cry. Oh man, if we could make everybody cry, that would be our opening.
Oh, they never ask what kind of tree you are.
But you know, it's
oak.
It's,
maple? I don't know. Let's ask Rush.
The larch. That's, but you know, it's always one of those things. Like,
give me a stogie.
We're Canadian, of course, and I mean, we've been following Canadian bands our entire life.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have to say is that the quality of Canadian acts that we've seen over the years is top notch.
Yes.
And I don't know that Canada quite gets the recognition. Even within Canada, I'd say, because I mean, you guys are fantastic, and there's just so many.
That's such an old yard, other bands, but it's a truth. It's an absolute truth. I don't know why. We eat our young, and I think we have a different perspective because, you know, we live, our neighbors to the south, they're so mega and everything, and I think we try extra hard to be the best we can be at it, you know what I mean? It's, I don't think we're as much about image as we are about content and you know, that aspect of it, you know what I mean? It, when it comes down to it, it's only rock and roll. You know, there's three chords, I know both of them. And it's just, I don't know, Canadians have a great love of music. There's no doubt about it, right? And you can see the Canadian culture in our band. You know what I mean? Like, truly Canadians probably get us more than everyone else, but thank God everybody else also enjoys it. But I think the Canadians get the inside joke a little more. You know what I mean? And look who showed up, Johnny Dwarf.
Hi, Johnny. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well.
This is Brett and Mo.
Hi, Brett and Mo. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Johnny Dwarf.
Yeah. Right. The new guy in the band.
The new guy.
Yeah. So, well, tell us then, Johnny, what's it like being the new guy in the band?
You know, it's a great thing. When I was a kid, I used to, the first video I think I ever saw on TV was The Killer Dwarfs. Heavy Mental Breakdown. And a buddy of mine, I used to hang around with a buddy of mine. We used to ride dirt bikes when we were 15, 6, maybe 14 even. And I remember spending the night at my buddy's place and we were watching videos where just coming out and pre-Much Music, pre-MTV, all this, and I saw Heavy Mental Breakdown on TV.
Blame it on me.
Anyway, so me and my buddy are sitting there watching it going, fuck, look at this. That's what I want to do. And, you know, 35 years later
and
or whatever
what did,
it is.
And what did your mom do?
My mom, you know, I love my mother. My mother died when I was 17. My mom loved the fact that I loved music. Because my mom used to listen to, you know, Michael Jackson and ABBA and Karen Carpenter and, you know,
Johnny Cash,
like all the good, you know, Charlie Pride, like some of the country stuff even. And my mom was really happy that I got into music, and she bought me my first guitar and, you know, my first CDs and cassettes.
Like, cassettes. About the cassettes.
My brothers went out west, when they moved out west when I was a young kid, they gave me all their 8-tracks. So I got, you know, Frank Zappa and ZZ Top and all these old, you know, Neil Lofgren, like all
the
crazy stuff. So on my 16th birthday or 15th birthday, I can't remember. I was a kid. My mom got me Killer Dwarf Stand Tall on cassette.
Sweet.
And I threw it in the thing and I thought to myself, this is what I'm about right here. And that was the end of it. And you know, 35 years later, or however long, I don't know, 35 years,
yeah,
Russ?
Well, like 86, so yeah. 86, 16, yeah,
32 years later.
Look, I'm good at math. I'm in the
band with these guys. I mean, I've known them for years.
Isn't that a crazy yarn?
But, it's great. Yeah. I mean,
you can't make that shit up.
No.
Pretty proud of it.
Although he just did.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's funny, though, because, I mean, I like, for me and, like, my introduction into hard rock, like, there was one point where I was convinced that I was only going to listen to classical music.
Right.
And I don't know why I convinced myself of that. But then I got into, you know, started getting into the Duran Duran and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I was at the public library, and I picked up a copy of Kiss Crazy Nights, just on a whim. Threw it in the cassette in the car with my mom. And I'm playing it, and my jaw dropped. And from that moment on, it was just like, nope.
Gene would love that.
It's a unique sound. Yeah. It's something that it grabs you.
It was the guitars and the sing-along choruses.
The passion.
Like, I need those sing-along choruses.
It's very powerful.
Right?
Awesome.
As long as we're given these. Mine. Seriously, it was a Power Hour. You know, they did CDs, right?
And we hosted that a lot.
And they had you on the CD. It's actually where Stand Alone was on the CD.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard you guys.
Oh,
and
wow,
you know, it was you. Rush, Tom Sawyer was on there.
Wow.
That's
right.
Yeah, like I got that album, and it was like, holy shit! There's all these great bands. I got it. Like, that was it.
Wow, I didn't even know we were on that.
Yeah, you guys were on that too, so I should probably be in your band.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, well, you know, you got time. I'm going to retire.
They wrote me into it. You can replace me.
Do you need a tambourinist?
Yes! Does it everybody?
Yeah, of course. For sure.
That's funny. I never knew that we were on that. That's amazing.
You didn't know you were on that.
You don't know half the shit. You know
what I mean? Well,
we only wrote the songs.
Yeah, they put them out.
Right, what did Bond say? You know, the white man's got the smarts.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's
that,
right.
That yarn.
Black man got the blues.
Right?
No one knew what they was going to do, but Tchaikovsky had the news.
Let them be wrong.
That's it.
So yeah, this is actually a great question. Like, what is it that you guys do when you're hanging around? I mean, obviously, I can see some of it, and it looks like great fun.
Yeah.
Because we're always interested, as we told you before, we're writing a graphic novel about this. So I mean, we're really interested in that whole behind the scenes, like what is life like?
Yeah, I don't know. I like to sit in the backyard with my dog and drink beer, really. But it's the truth. But when we're on the road, we all hang together. Like, we all love each other, and thank God no one's with us, because it can get ugly. But we have a lot of fucking laughs. If we have a day off or something, it's retarded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's the word that we're looking for.
That's right. Yeah, we wouldn't want to have.
But we have a lot of fun and everything, and you know, that's the best thing about it, that we enjoy each other's company and everything, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of bands apparently that don't like each other and just, you know, do it.
And the stories never end. There's always
new
story.
Yeah, we got yarns forever, and we laugh and laugh and laugh.
Well, I wouldn't be adverse to a story right now if you have a good one on tap.
What's a good one?
Oh, I don't know. A whole bunch today.
What about the swimming pool in that place?
I don't know. People ask those questions. It's so hard to pull one out of your ass.
There's so many of them.
Like, right? You know what I mean? Just crazy shit comes to us. You know what I mean?
You're like magnets for crazy
shit. Yeah, we don't even have to. We're like pretty conservative, really, but the shit that goes on around you is just incredible, right? You should have had Daryl out here.
I thought the Canadian military guy showing up at that hotel was pretty a good story.
Yeah, like, I don't even remember. We were so bombed that day.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We were at this hotel in Florida. It was before the Monsters of Rock cruise. And we saw military vehicles on the highways and everything. Like, they were just
cruising around, right?
And all of a sudden we're at this pool and just hanging out, having a couple beers, sitting in the sun, and all of a sudden I look up and I see these camouflage guys walking down the parking lot. And as they're getting closer and closer and closer, I notice that they got Canadian flags on their uniforms. And they're coming to find us. They're looking for us. They show up at the pool, and you know, they're doing their drills,
training with
their
them,
training
in
their drills,
the
and everything
US.
Down there somewhere. They found out we were at that hotel, and they actually came there to see us.
Yeah,
and they hung out. They hung out for an hour and gave us a bunch of military stuff that they had, like the personal stuff that they carry with them.
Yeah.
You know, like.
We love the bats.
Yeah, you can't make that up. I mean, they showed up to see us.
Meet so many people. It's incredible.
That's great. I mean, like, that must make you feel like special in that regard.
Blown away by that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, And again, it's like you speak of that whole rock and roll. I mean, like it really does bind us together in that regard.
Yeah,
I mean,
community.
You know, I mean, we've talked to so many guys.
Always have something to talk about.
And there's always so much fun and and you can tell. And that's one of the things that I really appreciated about you guys. Like, I can tell you're having fun while you're out on stage.
Yeah.
No, why do it if you can't?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm acting.
In that case, you're doing a good job.
I gotta go in.
Yeah.
You want to wrap it up?
Okay, sure. We can totally wrap it up. Well, anyways, we are totally happy and thankful to have Johnny and Russ on the show. And
thanks for having us, man. Appreciate
that. We'll give you a chance quickly.
I walked out and interrupted, but
hey, we're glad you did. We're glad you did.
Kids,
one chance to plug your shit.
Well, we have a brand new album on EMP, which is Dave Elfson's label for Megadeth, and it's a live album, and it's called Killer Dwarf's No Guff, and Canadians will get what that means, and, you know, that's just come out, and we're on in our touring cycle right now, and, you know, come out and see us, and you'll probably hear a brand new studio album next year at some point, you know, so come out and say hi to us, and let's, you know, keep the spirit alive, baby.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, everybody should come out and see you guys because you're fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys. Cheers.